Welcome to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Each week on this program, Jeff and his guests share their expertise, personal anecdotes, and the latest industry news to keep you in the loop. Now, to provide you with insight and help you navigate the consistently changing world of real estate lending, here is your host for The Mortgage Voice, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning into the show, listening once again to us talk about what's happening in the mortgage market. Although during the last 3-4 weeks, what we've seen here in Southern California is an anomaly, which is, I can't pronounce the word, but it's an anomaly. All this rain, the weather and weather events and how it affects loans and how it affects property values and all that kind of stuff. There are plenty of places in the country where it does affect quite a bit all the time, like down in Florida, the Panhandle in Texas, certainly to name few. Here in Southern California, we have fires, and that's really the main thing. Occasionally, we get an earthquake, but that's unpredictable. But the rains, boy, the last 2 years have really soaked the ground, so much so that a lot of driving along the Coast Highway here where I live in Los Angeles County, yes, it has eroded. And yes, we've had some traffic fatalities and accidents and everything else, road closures, and it really not only screws up just getting around, but if you're trying to sell or buy a house in an area like that, it takes, and I talked to an appraiser and some people on the show a couple of weeks ago about this, you have to get the bank to come on back out and make sure that your property is still okay. When we first moved to where I live, which is in Malibu, California, and hi to everybody in San Bernardino, Riverside County, sorry about that, don't mean to tell you that I live at the beach, but you know what? Your area is as beautiful in its own way. So no skin, right? Off the nose. But this, what we were talking about, what's happening in Malibu, and when I first got there, oh, about 30 years ago, we had rains like this in the late 90s. I don't know if people remember it, but it was deluge after deluge and water like I'd never seen. The Sepulveda Pass was closed. There's water 10 feet deep in certain areas of the highway. Yeah, it was a mess. But we had a slide on our hill and took out our entire septic system. You know, in Malibu, we have septic. Actually, 75% of the country has septic systems. So if you're on septic, you're one of the majority, not the minority. Mostly it's municipalities and cities that have systems that take care of that stuff for your sewage systems. But it wiped out our hill, took with it a septic tank, and it took us emergency permitting and a lot of fret and a lot of stress to make sure that we got a retaining wall in and a new septic system. So if you're out there today, especially because it is now 3-4 weeks in a row that we've had just severe rain here on the coast, and as it drifts inward, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And when will it end? March is usually the busiest or the deepest rain pools that we get because it just rains continually week after week after week. I don't know what the next 2 or 3 days are like, but I do think it is planning to rain, or it is planning, but they have said it's going to rain in the next couple of weeks. So yes, take your breath, and if you're, like I say, out there and you're waiting for your house to close, just make sure you understand it may take a little bit longer because the company that is lending you the money is going to want to make sure that your house is okay. Okay, I am Jeff Barton. This is the Mortgage Voice. If you want to see and hear the show, go to themortgagevoice.com, and that is on YouTube. YouTube is our friend. We've been broadcasting there as well as archiving our shows for a long time. We have hundreds of shows there. You can go through it, see what we're doing, see how we look at the situation that we're in currently, as well as a long view, try to find out exactly who and what and where and why things are happening the way they are, and to give you a place where you can get information that you can't get anywhere else. If you also want to see our website, themortgagevoice.com, is a great place to see and hear not only the show, but you can get a little bit more information about the guests that come on the show, maybe contact them directly. These are some great things that you can do to help yourself in this time of what am I going to do and how am I going to do it. There are a lot of different things that we can do as an information giver, but the main thing is to try to encourage you. Every market has its advantages. Every market has its disadvantages. And as we will talk about a little bit during the show, we are seeing some of that and how to rear or get out of that viewpoint as to whether it's a good or a bad thing is what we'll talk about. Anyway, let's get right to it. 30-year fixed rate loans today, 6.97. The 15 years at 6.47. The FHA is at 6.54. And the jumbo loans at 7.29. Those jumbos are still high, but as you see, the spread between the 30-year fixed and the jumbo is really only 30 basis points. So this tells you a little bit about what's happening in the market as well. The 2 year is at 4.554%. The 10 year is at 4.106%. The spread on this is very similar to the spread on the 30 and the jumbo. It's about 40, 45 basis points, which is still not that much. I read either on Housing Wire or on Mortgage News Daily today that the spread will continue to narrow. They were keeping tabs on it because I talk about it all the time that and how this spread is supposed to foretell whether there's going to be a recession or not. And if the 2 year is yielding more than the 10 year, that's been the way that you can tell that there is one coming. But it's been going on for so long and we've still staving off recession. And I don't mean to say that it's beckoning or it's a perch to pounce, but that has been the historical look at why the two being yielding more than the 10 and what that means. What I think it right now means is that the two are yielding more than the 10. I don't think there is an economic consensus on exactly what that does mean. But for you out there who are trying to follow how mortgage rates get to where they are and when they're going to come down, I feel you. I do. I just don't have the prognostication or the guides in the guideposts. I do know that because the mortgage rates are what they are, a lot of that has to do with why the housing market is the way it is. We have old mortgages that were locked in at a very low rate, and now we have high interest rates, which means that those people who've locked into the low rates, they're not going to go anywhere or change that. Why would you go from a 3% to a 7% mortgage? You just wouldn't. And that's one of the reasons that the housing market is frozen. They call it the lockup rate, and that lockup rate will persist for years to come, according to a couple of economists that I read during today. I also go to MSN and Yahoo and all the major places where you might get some financial news, Bloomberg, all these kind of places always are in a bit of a conflict. I think in the news business, when it comes to what we talk about in economics, what we talk about in the mortgage and real estate world is there's two hats that most of these writers obviously wear. They want people to click on and read what they're doing, but at the same time, they want to be as accurate as possible. So if you're a doom and gloomer out there, which a lot of analysts are, but analysts aren't writers, so they just say what they want and move on. It makes for great copy when the writer can really lead you down a path and then conclude at some opinion, which is positive, and that's the drawback between the written and the actual pontifications of analysts that are out there saying, you know, this is what's going to happen and that's what's going to happen. A couple of the major players out there chiming in on the debt is too high and we're going to get swamped by it. Jamie Dimon is one of them. He, of course, is you know, he heads up Chase Manhattan, J.P. Morgan Chase. So he, along with a chorus of other people, are saying, obviously, is what I've been saying for a long, long time, debt is too high. And the interest on that debt, and I talk, listening? So many interviews that I watch and see, it's hard to keep track because I don't have my notebook and I don't keep writing down everybody who says what. So I apologize out there if you're saying, hey, I said that, well, who listens to this show? Only my friends in San Bernardino or Riverside. Nobody from the Big Apple or some of the financial centers are listening. But regardless, the debt is eating us alive, and it's over $1 trillion a year that we're spending on interest on the debt. Now, our economy is $23 trillion. Our debt is $32 trillion, and we're paying interest payments of about $1 trillion a year. And just to keep you in mind of what that kind of number is, the Defense Department, which is the largest, they eat up more of the federal budget than anybody, they're not quite at $1 trillion. So we're paying more in the interest on the debt than we are in our most expensive line item on the budget on an annual basis. That is not good. It's It's going to grow. Whoever wins the election, that's why it really doesn't matter to me. I really would like to see us eliminate this kind of spending, this deficit spending, what Reagan used to call supply-side economics. No, man, you just can't keep printing the money, right? That's what everyone says, even though that's not really what happens, but it's easier to view it like that. Anyway, I'm Jeff Barton. I'm your voice in the mortgage industry. Really appreciate you listening to the show, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For questions or comments, send emails to info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I am Jeff Barton, and this is The Mortgage Voice. Yes, I am The Mortgage Voice, and I've been doing it for many, many years, trying to guide and help you along your path of happy destiny, trying to figure out when and how you can get that house, or if you want to sell, or if you want to refi. There are all kinds of solutions out there, but a lot of the solutions in today's market nobody wants to hear about because, one, too expensive, and two, you just don't want to compete. Now, there are several things in my list of things that I want to talk about, but let's talk first about all the different websites that you can go see us, the podcast. Do you have that list in front of you, Daryl?
I do. Here, let me hand it over to you.
Okay, excellent. Spreaker, Stitcher, iHeart Music, iHeart Radio. Let's see. Oh, I actually have a list. Apple Podcasts, Google Music Play, Spreaker, Spotify, iHeart Media, Radio.com, Podclips.io, and MortgageVoice.com. Okay, terrific. These are all the places where we podcast, where we drop what we do on a weekly into these outlets. Now, people say, well, how are you getting found and how are they figuring out where you are? Well, we have such a track record that we actually reach quite a number of different people. Our main target group is right there in San Bernardino, Riverside counties. These are the people that have been with us for years, for a decade, actually over a decade. We're about 10 years into the show and have been loyal listeners. They always are good people with feedback, asking me questions about what is this and what is that, and just general information where you know on a Saturday or Sunday you're driving around, you can find somebody who's talking about what you need to know. Now, obviously, this is kind of a cyclical thing. You're not going to need us or know to come to our show unless you're looking to refinance or you're looking to buy or sell a house. This is the information that's raw, it's real, and it's in front of you on a weekly basis in all these podcasting areas, as well as KCAA.com, AM/FM signals out there in ones on top. I forget what mountains it on. Do you remember? Do you know?
Most of the FMs are on Box Springs.
Oh, okay, very good. All right, so right. Daryl's microphone's out a little bit, so if you hear a little bit of an echo when he's speaking, that's why. All right, let's get right to what I wanted to talk about eventually, but let's get to it right now. Credit scores, how credit scores affect your rate. That's really what credit scores do and how they are. We talked last week or the week before, I forget which, about how the credit and analysis and the credit score issuance is going to change into 2025, probably by the mid to the late part of 2025. And you may say, well, why are you talking about it now? Because it's coming and it's going to change the way we look at people and how we value what we see on paper as to how they're paying their bills. Because basically the credit score is about how you pay your bills and how much are you in debt in paying those bills. If you have a credit card and it's got a $1,000 credit limit on it and you're $500 and you pay the minimum every month, that's not good for your credit because you're using 50% of your available credit and only paying the minimum. So this is the kind of credit information that goes into your score. Now, the score itself currently, which is TransUnion, Equifax, and whatever the other one is, three credit scores, and they have, you know, obviously a top score, a middle score, and a bottom score. The middle score is the one they use for your credit on mortgages, and it is a snapshot. It is not a revolving kind of, or revolving is a bad word because that's also used in credit. It's more of something that, like, you would take a snapshot today of you and your friends outside, you and your family outside, and that would become frozen in time. That's the way credit is done right now. So what they're going to do is they're going to go to a trend, what they call a trend line. And the trend line will be two scores about 18 to 24 months of how you're paying your bills today and what your particular credit usage is today. So they won't go historically from back to the beginning of time to come up with a score and freeze, that's what it is. They will look at how the trend is going. For instance, if you're trending to whereby you were at a place and you're improving your ability to repay and you're improving the days that you repay and you're improving the amount of money that you need to pay back, i.e. it lessens on a monthly basis, you're paying down those particular credit card bills or bills that you have, that's a good thing. And that will help you more. The trending credit line is coming, and as I said, probably late 2025. Okay, so today, the average credit score has dipped for the first time in 10 years. The national average credit score, and you might say, wow, that's a lot of people with credit scores. You're right, it is. And because since the Great Recession, which was in 2008 through 2009, 10, 11, we saw credit scores at 684, 686. Well, today's credit score that has come down is at 717. Now, you may say, wow, that's a pretty high credit score. It is. And really, it's only fallen by 1 point. It was 718. It has fallen to 717 on a national average. What is the national credit score? That's what it is. Now, if you have something which is 717, you would be considered a paper person. It's really 720 and above. As everyone knows, credit score goes up to 850. But certainly, if you are 720 and above, 740, you are a paper, and you will get the best mortgage rate available in the market for that particular loan that you're going for, especially if you can prove income. Certainly, credit score will determine rate, income will determine the ability to repay, and those things combined. I'm going to ask Jennifer Conrad, she's coming on the show today, just how processing has changed, or if it has changed, from back in those dark days to today, or even as last year to today, with rising interest rates, and how we look at credit, and if credit is expanding. These are some of the things that I want to ask her when she comes on the show. Okay, 35% utilization on credit cards, up from 33%. What does that mean? I talked about it, about credit scores, and about how if you're using credit cards, and they're maxed out, and you're only paying the minimums, that's usage. That means you're really using it, right? So 35% utilization rate on credit card, up from 33%. They say if you are really over 25 to 30% of your max ability to borrow on your credit cards, that that's bad for your credit. If you're under 25, 30%, that's good. It's saying here the national average is 35%, which means it's going to hurt your credit. So that's something to consider when you're about ready or you're planning on getting a loan. You want to make sure that your credit cards are paid down to at least 30%, i.e. of the amount of money that you can borrow. I can borrow $1,000. That means I can only have on my credit card $300, 30%. Okay, 18% of cardholders were 30 days past due on their bill. That's really bad. That means you're late. The only thing worse than that would be late on your mortgage, and that is almost death for you to be able to get a standard loan with the best rate available. However, there are always solutions to every mortgage problems. It just is about how much you pay down, and what the term or the length of the loan is going to be. There will be people out there who will lend you the money unless you are a complete disaster on your credit score. And this is disregarding medical, this is disregarding school, those types of bills are categorized a little bit differently. And I believe in the new credit score that I talked about coming in 2025, some of those things won't even be counted. So those are good for those people who have that kind of issue on their credit. Let's see. So all of these are what I'm talking about is because The credit score becomes the most important thing when you're talking about how much you're going to have to pay on a monthly basis. So word to the wise, I'm sure you're all listening, and I really appreciate it. Let's get to a couple other things quickly. Buyer's affordability in high interest rate environment. That's correct. We always look to what they can afford, and we talk about the affordability index, and that buyers are having a tough time, one, because the house prices are going up, and two, because the rates keep going up. We never talk about the seller. Let's talk about the seller quickly. We have about 30 seconds. Sellers price cutting in high interest rate environment. Okay, what does that mean? It means because buyers are having a difficult time to be able to come up with the money for either the down payment or the credit score to make the payment, they're getting fewer and fewer offers, which means that a great percentage of sellers have to cut the price of the house in order to sell that house. Bad for the seller, right? What is the percentage? In 2023 to 2024, March this year, 31% of the buyers, of the sellers, have to cut prices in order to sell. That's not a good thing. Anyway, I'm Jeff Barton. We'll get to more of this later in the show, and I'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For questions or comments, send emails to info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning into the show. TheMortgageVoice.com. Yes, that's the place you can go if you want to see and hear this show other than today, which is Saturday and Sunday. You're rolling around out there in San Bernardino and Riverside counties and listen to us after church or just hardware store Saturday. Hopefully the rain has stopped and things are drying out and you have an ability to really improve the property that you're in. But I appreciate you listening, and I appreciate you coming to the show each and every week. KCAA is the radio station, and again, AM, FM, both signals are great. Jeff Barton, The Mortgage Voice on YouTube. You can see us there. We mentioned in an earlier segment some of the podcasts that we're on, and again, I appreciate you listening. With us is always great people, and so Wendy Van Wessel, who has been here many, many times, joins us once again. She's from Kind Lending. She's an account executive there to talk about some CalHAFA product. Wendy, how are you?
I am fine today, Jeff. How are you?
I am fine today, too. I was talking earlier about all the rain we're getting, and hopefully people's houses aren't washing away. And that's always a problem out here on the coast. But where the show is, yeah, they have the same issues, mudslides and just potholes and all that kind of stuff.
Saturday at the hardware store is the honey-do list, right?
Yeah. I love that. Honey-do. That's right. Honey, do this. Honey, do that. Yes. Exactly. Okay, let's talk a little about down payment assistance and what's with the CalHAFA program. How do you get into that? How do you, you know, what Kind is doing in that area, if you would?
Certainly. The CalHAFA is opening up in April. The Dream Shared Equity Program, which gets you 100% financing. You do a Fannie Mae first, and you do the Dream Shared Equity Program up to $150,000 second. They've opened it up, and in April, you need to get with your loan officers, and in April, there's an application letter that you put in. They've got a grant for $250 million, and
wow,
with the max loan amount of $150, they figure that they can get about 1,800 families in their home at 100% financing. That they expect to get 20,000 applications, so it's about a 9% chance, better than the lottery,
right,
that you'll get a voucher
yep,
for that second. And then you need to take two education courses. And if you do get the voucher, that's wonderful, because then you have about 60 to 90 days to go shop for a property with 100% financing with that voucher in your hand.
That's awesome.
When you sell your property, you need to pay back that, sell or refinance your property. You're allowed to do one refinance if you want to. The shared equity part comes in with, if you have $140 that the value of your house went up to, you have to pay back part of that equity up to 20% up to 2.5%.
That's not too bad.
That's not too bad. No.
No.
But there's another option for you, too.
Okay.
What else did I want to tell you? You need to be a first-time home buyer. You can't have owned a home for 7 years, not 3 years.
Seven. Okay.
Like
it used to be two, right?
Used to be three, I think.
Okay.
There's always three that they were looking at. And then you also can't have your parents that owned a house.
Oh, so you can't, like, interfamily transfer kind of thing?
No, meaning that neither you nor your parents could have owned a home. They truly want it to be a first-time home buyer for the generational family. That's what they're looking for with this Dream Shared Equity program. So those are some of the caveats for this program, and if you fit, it's wonderful. But if you don't get that drawing, there is another option that goes to 100% financing. It is the CalHAFA My Home Second, and this second does FHA, USDA, Rural, and Fannie Mae as well, conventional loans. You can get to 100%. FHA is always 96.5 and a 3.5 seconds, right?
Right.
And Fannie Mae, if you're high balance, you go to 95 plus 2%. If you're high balance, and high balance in L.A. County is anything over, is it 766, 550 now, right?
Yeah. That's what it is. Yeah.
So if you're anything over that, you want to go to the FHA loan so you can continue to get 100% financing. When you, neither of these loans have a payment. It's just that shared equity plus the loan you'd have to pay back on the Dream program, the Dream Shared Equity program. And on this My Home Second, when you pay it back, you pay back the loan and you pay back a simple 1% flat fee. So if you borrow $200,000, you're paying back $202,000 no matter how much equity you made.
Oh, that's a good deal. Yeah.
That's
I was just asking that.
Deal.
Yeah. No, that's excellent. I think that kind of loan is terrific. Now, are both these loans in the same $250 million pool?
No. The Dream Shared Equity program is the one that has that pool and has those caveats about first-time home buyers and the shared equity.
Okay.
So my home is available now. There's no drawing.
Okay.
And it can get you to 100% financing. And, yes, it is a great offer for people out there.
Is there a limit or the amount of money in that pool, or is this just always available?
My home seconds are always available.
Great.
And when you pay back your loan, you're paying it back for the next family to be able to get the My Home loans too.
No,
so
these are recycling
the money.
Yeah, these are great programs, especially now. I mean, we're talking affordability, and we're talking how the lock-in that we experienced during the really low interest rate environment is really hurting. It's not only hurting buyers, it's hurting sellers, hurting the market. Obviously, the people who work in the market are suffering because there's just not enough volume. We're seeing exodus in a lot of different ways in our business. But providing these kind of down payment assistance to California first-time home buyers is a really good deal. And for those 1,800 that get it this year, that's great. Where does the money come from? Is it federal money?
It's a grant.
Okay.
On that one. But the My Home is there. They don't have to have anything to do with that $250 million.
Right.
And if you look at the Dream in Los Angeles County, your household can make $155,000 and still qualify. If you're going to the My Home Second, you can make $194,000 in your family and still qualify.
Now, let me ask you a question. Those two figures you just quoted. Now, I'm an old guy, so I'm thinking, wow, that's a lot of money. But I talk to people, younger borrowers, people who are, Gen Z, Gen X, and they're like, geez, that's no money at all. If you have a kid and they start adding it up and they're going, I can't afford
it. It's expensive out there.
Yes, it's expensive. Very, right. And what is expensive and to me is different because I'm, I paid off my house. I'm an old person. I'm on a fixed income, blah, blah, blah. It's quite a bit different than somebody who's trying to get to a point where they can not only afford it, but see a future beyond just affording a house. They want to have a family, want to be able to take vacations, do all that kind of stuff. It's expensive.
Yep, you can position yourself, too. There's a lot of programs out there to help people position themselves. Another program that we have is a HELOC or a 30-year fixed standalone second. So if they've got their credit cards that were jacked up because they needed the money, then and they're paying probably close to 22% often, you can get the standalone 30-year fixed or the HELOC, which is interest-only payments for the first 10 years, and maybe have a 10 and a half, depending on what your FICO score is, what your CLTV is, combined loan-to-value is, you can get a much better rate, pay those off, and then try and get yourself in a position where you don't have all those extra other liabilities, and your $194,000 or your $155,000 will allow you to have the 50% debt-to-income ratio that you need for a lot of loans.
Oh, that's excellent. I spent the first couple of segments, and I talked about credit score and how credit score really affects the rate you have. How does, in all of these situations, does it matter what your credit score is when you're going to CalHAFA because it's FHA?
Well, we go down to 580 for regular FHA loans.
Okay.
Fund approvals. You know, if the condo complex is not approved, we do those. We do, if it has litigation, that's not mold or how the construction of the condos are, we do those too. But for example, CalHFA with the My Home Second,
right.
CalHFA First, FHA with the My Home Second, you need a 640 FICO score.
Okay.
CalHFA Conventional First with the My Home Second, you need a 680 minimum FICO score.
Okay.
So you do need to have a little bit higher FICO score than regular FHA, but you do get the 100% financing too.
No, that's excellent. No, and because, I mean, we were talking about national average of credit scores and different ways that you can improve your payments just because the higher credit score you get lower interest rates. Is that still true with these types of loans? I mean, let's say you have an 800. You're going to get a better rate than someone with a 580,
oh,
right?
Oh, definitely.
Of course.
And
right.
If you pay your credit cards down to
30%
rather than off,
right.
Yeah, then you get higher, your FICO score goes higher quicker. And if you pay them down, like, say, the end of February, then by the 10th of March, all three bureaus should be reflecting that 30% balance on your credit cards, supposedly.
Hmm.
So make sure you get it done by the end of the month, and by the 10th of the next month, you should see a big difference.
Okay, excellent. Listen, we have run out of time. You really had a lot of information for people. I hope they hear it. Could you let them know how to get in touch with you in case they have additional questions?
Certainly. My
Great.
Name is Wendy Van Wessel. My email is WVANWESSEL at kindlending.com, and my number is 818-292-2572. Glenn Stern's company is growing by leaps and bounds. If you want to have a job as an underwriter, give us a call.
Excellent. Nice pitch. Okay. Wendy, thank you very much for once again coming on the show. You're always the best.
Thank you very much, Jeff. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you, too. That's Wendy Van Wessel from Kind Lending. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For questions or comments, send emails to info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for listening to the show. Each and every week, we come to you, we bring to you solutions to problems that are either on the horizon, in front of you, or you just went through. Certainly commiserating with friends about what's going to happen or what might happen. Yeah, it's fun and nice, but isn't it great to have ability to find out exactly what's going on in the mortgage industry? That's why the show exists. We're on KCAA. .com is a good place to go and see archive show, hear archive show Saturday and Sunday driving around. You can listen to us on their AM or FM signal. And again, I'm Jeff Barton, and this is The Mortgage Voice. We are always fortunate to have great people. We've been doing the show a long, long time. And Tomas Trujillo, who joins us now, has been on the show probably about as often as anybody else. But we bring him back because of his knowledge, his experience, and his dedication to you, the borrower out there in the mortgage world. Tomas from Jet Mortgage. Hi, how are you? How you been?
I'm doing great, Jeff. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you. And thanks again for coming on the show.
Absolutely. It's always my pleasure.
Thank you. Okay, so let's get right to it. Mortgage industry is in kind of a slump, although we might see some relief if we get some more product on the market or rates reduce. At Jet, what are you guys doing to help solve these problems for some of these borrowers?
You know what? I don't think we're having those problems. I beg to differ with that statement.
Excellent.
We're slammed.
Oh,
we are
excellent.
Slammed.
Tell me,
right,
what's going
now
on?
Oh, my. The biggest thing, we have DPAs like crazy going right now. What's coming out of our ears, we have, personally, I just uploaded three today. The seconds are killing it. I-10s are still hot. They're still moving. And with the I-10, we have a lot of, a lot more leeway in there. So I can do a P&L I-10. I can do a DSCR I-10. I can do a VOE-only I-10, a 12-month bank statement I-10. Those products are just moving. People are wanting to get in houses. You know, I sent an email out about a week or so ago, and I told people, don't be dumb. People are waiting for the rate to come down. You can always refinance your rate. When those rates come down, those prices are going to go through the roof.
Right.
Whatever you think you're going to save, you're going to you're going to overspend. You're going to spend $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 over asking price. And why? Get the property now. When rates come down, refinance it.
So what's okay? That I love the strategy, and I also love the fact that you're busy, and the products that you're offering seem to be working, right? I mean, the down payment assistance programs. Are you doing that CalHAFA? Are you, what other down payments might you be doing?
I'm doing CalHAFA, which is the first. A second, which is the DPA, the down payment assistance.
Right.
And a third, the ZIP, which has the closing costs, so you can go up to 103%.
Okay.
Then I also have Chenoa. Chenoa is the only a first and a second to 100 CLTV, but on that program, you don't have to be a first-time home buyer. You don't have to have an income requirement. You can go anywhere in the country, well, almost anywhere in the country, most of the country you can go to.
Right.
And we have our own priority, our own DPA product, which is kind of like Chenoa, where you can go anywhere. The broker can make a little bit more money on it. He's not limited. It's easier. It's cheaper. So these are just moving.
Tell me about some of the costs associated with these types of programs. The one from your company especially, but certainly the Chenoa, which we rarely talk about on the show.
Oh, the Chenoa is it's a fantastic product.
Right.
I mean, the actual lender cost to us, our underwriting fee, would be about $1,000, maybe $1,200. But I mean, you can go up to FHA high balance on it. It's not only an FHA product; it is a conventional product. I have those as well. I'm doing condos. I'm doing a lot of condos with CalHAFA that are conventional because a lot of the condo buildings are not FHA approved.
Right.
On my product, I can go up to 100 CLTV. That one I can do anywhere in the country. I'm doing two in Texas right now. Somebody left California.
Right.
They're going to Texas, and they're buying their dream home for about $500,000.
Wow.
I mean, it's like back in the old subprime days, I would tell people, even if you got the money, why would you use your money? Use our money.
Right.
What the hell? I mean, you can go forgivable, where you don't have to pay it back, or you can go repayable, where you do pay it back. You have all kind of options for anything you want to do these days.
Now, your experience obviously is showing through what we're talking about, because the products that you're just rattling off as if, you know, you just got them all sitting in front of you and you're just reading them. No, it's the experience that you bring to it. How is that experience affecting your ability to be able to close loans? I bet it's off the charts.
Well, you know, I've been around for a while, so
right.
I kind of know how to maneuver things.
Right.
How, you know, not everything in this business is black and white. People want you to think it is. You have some companies out there that won't take your loan unless it fits into that little box.
Right, that's right.
That is not us. We will make your loan go. We are not here to take loans in and say, no, we can't do that. We're going to make a loan work. Luckily, I've seen a lot of stuff in my
30 plus years.
Absolutely. All my gray hair, I love to tell my wife it's because of her, but no, it's trying to get these loans to work.
No, the loan business is a lot more art than people realize, and the reason that is because you need to position the loan in a way for a particular product and a particular lender, and every lender is a little bit different.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, if it was all cookie cutter, everybody would go to Wells Fargo or
right.
B of A.
That's right. That's right. And I it's funny. The mortgage industry, the mortgage broker, is a channel that seems to not go away, right? We've been predicting the end of mortgage brokering for decades now, and it still gets stronger and stronger, whether it's the advent of the huge, you know, behemoths like Rocket or UWM or a lot of the smaller players out there.
Absolutely. We just had a meeting on this. With UWM, you got a bunch of guys who are paid $2,500 base salary, and they get $50 per loan.
Right.
Okay, great. Well, guess what? I'm commission only. I am going to make that loan work. I'm going to answer your phone call at 11 o'clock at night. I'm going to pick up the phone. I'll be in front of my computer Sunday afternoon working on your loan. I'll be doing your income. I'll be telling you, okay, I need this. I need this. Let's get this. Let's get the appraiser out there. Let's get this thing moving. I know how to work it. I'm going to help your borrower get into his home, because actually it's pretty fulfilling. I've had borrowers call me who were living in a motel or living in their RV because they sold their house and their broker couldn't get it done.
Right.
So they had to go to someone else. And yeah, I've done that a million times. I've had people call me crying, thanking me. And I've also had people call me yelling at me. But
no, I think that's also true. Prognostication, where are we going to be in 6 months rate-wise?
Everybody's predicting they're going to go down. They're not going to go down as like everybody says they are.
Right.
They won't be 3 or 4%. I think we might hit maybe mid 5, 6. Well, actually, we're already there. I priced an FHA loan out today. Par pricing was at 5.375.
How's that possible? I was looking at average loans for FHA today, and it was about 6.5%.
I was down to 5.
Wow, that's great. Is that through? Well, it really depends, right? I mean, it's all up to the lender. How you're borrowing your money? When did you borrow your money? And what's the cost of selling it to somebody else? Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, and our margins are pretty thin. We pretty much lead in pricing. I mean, on when you go to Loan Sifter, we're usually at the top.
Excellent. Hey, Tomas, we've run out of time. I want to have people get in touch with you with your knowledge and experience, help them get a loan. Can you do that? Let people know how to get in touch with you?
Absolutely. Just give me a shout, Tomas. My number is 323-228-5181.
Excellent. And you want to give them the Big Bad Loan Daddy email?
Oh, absolutely, because I am the Big Bad Loan Daddy. You can reach me at Big Bad LoanDaddy@gmail.com.
Excellent. Tomas, thank you very much from Jet Mortgage. Appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you. And I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@MalibuFunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning into the show, listening to us on a weekly, and especially today. We've got great guests and information. If you want to see shows from the past, a couple places you can do that. KCAA has archived the show. TheMortgageVoice.com is our website where we have some of the shows archived. And, of course, YouTube, where we shoot this for YouTube. We get my face and the pictures of the people we're talking with, ways by which you can get in touch with them ASAP. And that's Jeff Barton, The Mortgage Voice on YouTube. All of these areas beg for you to say you like what we're doing, you join what we're doing, and you try to give us feedback. It's a great way by which we can improve how we do things. One of the reasons that I asked Jennifer to come on the show today was how have we actually improved as an industry in certain areas of the processing and origination. Anyway, joining us from Malibu Funding is Jennifer Conrad from, I believe, Las Vegas, Nevada. Hi, Jennifer, how are you?
Hi, Jeff. Thank you so much for having me back. I'm doing well, thank you.
Thank you, and thanks for coming on the show. We were talking earlier in a different segment just about the way things have changed, certainly in product availability and with the mortgage kind of lock-in where people are locked into those 3%ers. Getting a mortgage at 7%, if you're used to 3%, it's really locked down the housing market. How is it out there in terms of availability of housing and affordability of housing? Different than in California, yes?
It is a little bit different. I do notice that out here in Nevada, there is obviously more desire for a lot more product. And just even experience with talking to some of the real estate agents, maybe not having necessarily enough supply for the demand that people have. But, you know, getting around as far as like having, you know, the higher interest rates, we have more lenders that are offering down payment assistance programs.
Great.
To help people, you know, doing 2-1 buy downs to buy down the rate, you know, at least to give them, you know, 2 years to, you know, try to catch up.
Sure.
And then, you know, for some of our self-employed borrowers, you know, maybe they are already in a home and, you know, have kind of accumulated some debt, and, you know, throughout this whole process, you know, we're offering some aggressive products like doing a profit and loss program even for a second mortgage to try to help them, you know, sort of offset that, and the interest from that would actually be less than what they're paying on credit cards. So we have a lot more aggressive programs going on now.
The process, i.e. your job of taking a loan from the initial application through to funding. The difference between today's world and when it was 2 or 3 years ago, when it was just, you know, at lower interest rates. Have you seen a difference in what lenders are looking for and the difficulty of actually getting a loan to funding, or is it the same?
I do feel like, yes, lenders are asking for a bit more. So a lot of times in the past, we might submit one set of conditions after getting the initial conditional approval. You know, you might have one or two more conditions on, and then you kind of prepare for closing. It does feel like underwriters are probably scrubbing files a little bit harder, and so they're asking, you know, for more conditions. But part of, you know, the whole process of it as well is, you know, understanding that they have to do their due diligence. But as, you know, a good processor and loan officer, it's also my job to say, maybe in some cases, can I offer a little bit of pushback? Because maybe in some cases, I feel like it might be unnecessary.
Right.
So, you know, I'm still closing loans and still, you know, being able to get them closed reasonably fast in less than 30 days and, you know, a lot of cases. So,
yep.
You know, but it's just also a matter of knowing that since underwriters are doing that, it's how I submit the file in. So I'm sort of pre-underwriting it before I get it in to already ask the things that I need, you know, to sort of anticipate what they're going to ask for.
That's interesting in that. There is, because of the nature of the way the business is, do you think that the lenders are doing that to slow the process down because they're waiting for cheaper money to come down the pipe, i.e. the money that they have to borrow in order to lend out? Or is it just they're afraid of the loan itself?
No, I think it could be a combination of both. I think, you know, when you talk about, you know, as far as like, you know, having money cheaper to be able to lend out, yes, I would say that that probably is across the board. For your standard conforming, you know, where borrowers are, you know, as we would consider a paper, we're verifying, you know, everything. Yes, that might be the case. When you have, you know, some of the more aggressive products, it could be maybe, you know, this borrower does not fit exactly what they want in that parameter. And, you know, they realize they can't offer certain programs just to everyone. And so that being the case, they may make it a little bit more difficult. And I think in that case, it's probably a case-by-case basis, depending on the borrower.
Let's talk a little about that CPA letter you were talking about, or the CPA getting involved in the second in terms of verifying what's on the P&L. How does that work?
So as long as the borrower is self-employed, a minimum 660 credit score.
Okay.
Generally speaking, I will, you know, talk with the CPA and let them know that, hey, you know, we're going to review bank statements, see what the lender is coming back telling us that they see is, you know, what we have in the bank statements, and then working with the CPA to review the last year's tax returns as well as the bank statements to see if we can look at what the borrower has to qualify simply on a profit and loss statement being calculated based upon what the borrower is earning as gross receipts, whatever deductions, and then the bottom line being whatever it is that's going to be able to qualify them for the loan. So we do only a 12-month profit and loss statement. There are no bank statements to support it, but it does have to be actually calculated by a certified public accountant or either a CTEC, so a certified tax preparer.
Okay, so in all of this, the qualifications of the CPA or the tax preparer, are they scrutinized? I just remember way back in the day, 08, 09, these CPA letters were worth nothing because you couldn't. They weren't being verified, and really, people were making them up. I just always worry about that particular issue and the liability either on the loan officer or the lender who's lending out due to this.
Well, they do verify that the CPA has a license. So I've had, you know, a couple of lenders just go in and verify and say, okay, yes, we know, you know, this person is an accountant, a certified public accountant, based upon the fact that they provide their license information, you know, on the actual letter that they write.
Right.
But other than that, it's pretty much a stated program. So I think because the lender's not allowing a very high combined loan to value, 75% is the max combined loan to value on owner occupied and 65% on investment. It's almost like the exposure is not that high. And then they even put a cap on the max of the loan amount that they can have. So I do feel like, you know, they're paying attention, they're scrutinizing the whole situation and making sure that the borrower, you know, would be able to pay it and be able to afford it.
Wait, and this is really non-QM loans. This isn't the traditional, you know, 80-20 type loan, conventional through Fannie or Freddie, right? This is
no,
all non-QM.
This is a non-QM, yes.
Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Speaking of non-QM, tell us about that. Do you utilize the programs a lot in non-QM?
I do. I actually have a couple of borrowers right now that I'm doing what we call just verification of employment only.
Okay.
Loans. So they're W-2'd, but, you know, maybe they get paid from, you know, like a small company. I have a gentleman who gets paid from an automotive company, and it's uh-huh. like a mom and pop shop.
Right.
And so they literally write checks out of like just a checkbook,
right.
which the underwriter is not going to take. So mm-hmm. it makes sense that we have a full verification of employment, you know, that we submit in lieu of pay stubs. So, you know, like I said, I have those. And then, you know, we have a lot of people who are qualifying based upon bank statements. And even with that, you know, I take the 12-month bank statements, have the lender look at it and analyze it. And so then I'm working off of the income that the underwriter is saying, you know, hey, the lender is saying, we see this and, you know, this is what we are saying that the borrower makes. So we have that. And then, like I said, with the profit and loss programs, we have that as well. And we still do, you know, a lot of the DSCR investor loans,
okay.
you know, where
yep.
we're not verifying income, but we are qualifying based upon what the rental is going to be on the property.
Sure.
And we still have a couple of lenders out there that are doing no ratios for those investor loans with 15% down.
Wow. And 15%, that's good. I mean, usually you would expect more than that.
But with the 15%, you know, there's a caveat. You do need to currently be an investor. So
okay.
you have to have,
you
an
have experience,
experience doing
right,
it.
Right.
Right. If you don't have experience, then yes, you're looking at 25% down. And then if you need to do a no ratio and you don't have experience, then you're doing 30% down.
Gotcha. Okay, we've run out of time. That was fast. Oh, geez. Sorry about that. Listen, I know you want to tell people where they can get in touch with you and how they can get in touch with you. If you could do that, that'd be great.
Absolutely. You can call me at 773-593-6831.
Excellent. That's Jennifer Conrad from Malibu Funding. Jennifer, thank you very much. Appreciate you coming on the show again.
Thank you for having me, Jeff.
You're quite welcome. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. For more on today's topic, visit www.malibufunding.net.